Hi, everyone. This is Kate Brubaker from smallplanetstudio.com, and I'm here with Leslie Foreman, who's living in Chile, where she is teaching social entrepreneurship, studying creativity and innovation, and writing a book about working abroad. So, Leslie, thanks for joining me today to talk about your reentry experiences.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with where you have lived abroad. Can you talk a little bit about the places you've lived and worked and studied abroad and what things you did there?
Yes. The first time I lived abroad was in 2005, and I came to Chile for a year-long study abroad program. And then after that, I went back to finish college in Berkeley. And when I graduated with a degree in Latin American Studies, I decided to move to China. And initially I taught English in China, and then I did an internship. And after a year and a half in China, I went back to the U.S. And then I stayed in the U.S. for about a year and decided to move back to China, this time to Beijing. And at that point, I ended up living in Beijing for 2.5 years. And then last year, in June, I left China, and in July, I moved to Chile. So I've lived abroad for the majority of the past 7 years. And for today's interview on reverse culture shock, I want to focus on two specific experiences. The first was when I returned to the U.S. from Chile at the end of 2005. And I returned to finish my final semester of college. The second experience was when I returned to the U.S. after spending a year and a half working in China. And those experiences were quite different, but both of them were clear examples of reverse culture shock. So when I left Chile at the end of 2005, I started preparing to go home basically as I was packing. I mean, I've never been one to plan really far ahead. And as I was, like, organizing my stuff and giving things away and saying farewell, one thing that I did was summarize my experience into one sentence. And the sentence I came up with for that year in Chile was, Chile is a country of contrast between rich and poor, traditional and modern, liberal and conservative, city and countryside. And as an international student, I was able to see the extremes of all of these different contrasts, often in the same day. And so I was, like, trying to mentally process this year that had been amazing, that had totally changed my life, changed my perspective. I had really kind of grown up a lot. In 1 year, I was 21 at the time. And so I was, like, mentally processing this whole experience into this one sentence. And then I left Chile in the summer, in December, and arrived back in California in the winter and spent Christmas with my parents in the snow, which felt like a huge shock. But then the reverse culture shock really hit me when I went back to college. I was living in the same sorority where I had lived before I had gone abroad. And the rules and the drama really got to me because it was like, wait a second, I've done so much more, and now I have to, like, share this tiny room and follow these rules about, I don't know, points and attendance and deal with they felt so petty after having worked on, like, international micro-enterprise training projects and having seen all these enormous peaks and mountains and to deal with much, much bigger issues and then come back to deal with, like, dramatic pettiness. That was one thing that really got to me. Another thing that really got to me at that stage was that I overcommitted myself. I was in my final semester of college, and I had this sense that I was going to miss out on things. So I needed, like, 2 classes to graduate, but I signed up for 5. Because I was like, oh, well, I want to learn more about social enterprise. Oh, but I want to take this student-taught women's leadership class. So I did all these extra things. I did all these extra internships and things because I felt like my time was running out. But about a month into that semester, I got really burned out. I just didn't have the energy to deal with all of this stuff. The drama in the place that I was living was really getting to me. And I was just like, why did I do this to myself? And then a couple of months later, on schedule, I graduated. I walked across the stage in my cap and gown with flowers. And I had my degree in Latin American studies. And I had no idea what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then I decided to move to China. And without going into too much detail about what drove me to move to China or what I did there, side note, if you're interested in that story, you can look at my website. But I had another really dramatic experience with reverse culture shock about a year and a half later, when I returned from a year and a half in China. This was in December of 2007 that I moved from Shanghai to San Francisco. And when I was living in China, I had been teaching English at a university. I did an internship at the American Chamber of Commerce and Corporate Social Responsibility. I met with all these huge companies. I met all these interesting people. Was really active in all these different events and in the city and everything. And again, as I was like physically packing to go home, I tried to summarize my experience into one sentence. And this time I came up with one. The word was harmonious, which is kind of a strange word, but it was one that came up many times in the year and a half I was in China. Build a harmonious society is like a slogan of the Chinese government that basically means the hierarchy in society, and it refers to like stability and friendship and peace and respect. And this was a topic that my students have had to do like a speech competition for that I had judged. Then later on, a lot of the corporations that we were working with were connecting their corporate social responsibility initiatives with the same kind of rhetoric. But when I arrived home, I realized that this sort of convoluted story about the word harmonious was not anything anybody wanted to hear. It was just like if I think I said this once, but then it didn't fit into any kind of conversation, and I felt like no one in my life really wanted to hear in detail about my time in China. My descriptions of this dramatic year and a half long experience turned into things like, it's fun, it's interesting, lots of people. And I was like really awkward. I would go to like the Bank of America and be like, oh my God, I only had to wait for 5 minutes? And you have free coffee, and you understand me when I say I want to deposit this money in my account, and I don't have to pantomime, and you just switch it on my account 5 minutes? What am I supposed to do with the rest of my day? Like, I was, like, mentally prepared to spend half a day in the bank and have to, like, pantomime to, like, point to my, like, deposit book and point to my, like, bank card and, like, assume that they would understand what I was talking about because I just didn't have the vocabulary to explain this in real words. Mm-hmm. And then, like, signs of this reverse culture shock, I would go to, like, Trader Joe's and just stand there speechless. I was like, whoa, there's so many choices, and I can read all. Wow. All the labels. And I would like walk down the sidewalk in San Francisco and put my arms straight out and spin around, like shocked that there were no people. Like, whoa, so much space on the sidewalk. This is in the middle of the city and I can put my arms out and spin. Wow. Like, I had all of these weird reactions that I was like, just kind of acting like a strange person that was like pointing out things that other people don't talk about because they're used to. So
So basically, this was like at the beginning of 2008 now, and I knew from my previous experience with reverse culture shock that I needed to give myself a little bit of time. I went and traveled around the U.S. a little bit and visited some friends and family, and I like spent some more time with my parents, and I was just kind of trying to reacclimate a little bit. But soon, like maybe 3 months later, I found a new job, I made new friends, I moved into a new place with people that I'd met off Craigslist, I started dating, and I started to like treat my hometown of San Francisco as its own adventure. And I had grown up principally in the suburbs, so I wasn't all that familiar with different neighborhoods of the city. So this was like really getting to know different areas, deciding where to live. And it was this like attitude of adventure that did help me kind of move forward. And I didn't try to go back to exactly what I had done before my trip. I started doing something new. And this like attitude of like, okay, well, I need to create a life rather than settling into something that I had done before was really important to me at that point.
Mm-hmm. So when you were abroad for the first time and you were in Chile, when does that whole idea of reentry kind of start to get on your radar? I assume you went with a program, so did they talk about reentry at all?
No, they didn't talk about it. I went on a really good program. It was through the University of California, and I had initially signed up for one semester, but I extended it to stay for two. So I was there for the entire year. I remember I had some bureaucratic challenges with my home university, and my like study abroad advisor at Berkeley had to do some stuff on my behalf so I didn't get kicked out of my registration in the university. I don't remember them doing anything about reentry. It was mostly focused on like orientation. And it's a great program. I mean, we had like a special class with lots of guest speakers, and they took us to a lot of different places in Chile. We went to wineries, we went to the countryside, we met politicians. But I don't remember them doing anything about reentry.
So then when you came home from China, you had already experienced coming home from Chile. So then were you kind of mentally preparing yourself when you were in China?
Well, I knew it was going to be hard. I didn't expect it to be easy. I think that was the biggest mental shift. But I had gotten kind of homesick. I'd gotten kind of tired of China. I hadn't been back to the U.S. in a year and a half. And I think the biggest mental shift was that I knew it was going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm. So now thinking about the reentry experiences that you've been through, what do you feel like you know now about reentry that you wish you had known earlier?
I think the most important thing is that you need to give yourself time to adjust. I think that there's a lot of like sort of subtle mental shifts and like changes in environment that you don't necessarily recognize until you live them. But if your brain is saying, oh, my God, I can read all the labels, you need to give yourself that kind of moment to, like, actually sit and think about that rather than just being like, oh, no, but I have, like, 5 minutes to buy all these things on this list. Like, I think that it really does require the opportunity to pause and to, like, recalibrate. So that's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the second thing to know is that your friends and family probably don't want to know all the details of your trip. And this isn't because they don't love you. It's not because they don't care about you. But it may be because they can't relate. An analogy that I think about with this is that one of my really good friends has recently finished her PhD in biophysics. But if I were meeting with her and she were to talk to me for like an hour about all of her PhD experiments, I probably wouldn't be able to relate to all of her examples and everything. And I'm better off talking with her about things that we have in common. Like we can talk about friends that we have in common or about what's going on with her family or my family or something about what we've been doing for the past year or years since we've last met, but it's not a monologue. And if it's a monologue, it's not really a conversation. And I think the third thing is that it's really important to try not to go back to exactly the same arrangement as you had before you had this, like, transformative international experience. It's really important to negotiate, like, renegotiate the, like, most important relationships in your lives or where you're living or how you're spending your days, because you have changed. And I think it's really important to figure out ways to acknowledge and account for this change. And it's probably easier. I know this is easier said than done, but I realized when I went back to the exact same sorority house and had to share a room and follow the exact same rules, that's an example of not following this advice. And the fourth thing I would say is that it's really, really useful to get help from somebody who is impartial, rather, whether it's like a career counselor or somebody who is familiar with this issue or somebody who is familiar with the local labor market and can help you kind of translate your experiences from a completely different context into the local one. I think it's really important to work with somebody that is impartial and can give you this sort of professional perspective.
Those are great tips. And I really like what you had said earlier about it's about creating a life rather than settling in. And that's a very similar sentiment to what I think about reentry, that it's not about readjusting and just going back to what you were doing. It's about just creating something new and figuring out how you can merge who you were, where you were at home, with who you became while you were abroad. And it's not just about going backwards. It's about making, you know, continuing to go forwards.
I totally agree.
So, Leslie, I have one more question for you. This one's just kind of for fun. If reentry were a food, what would it be and why?
I think it's like white rice or white bread, like something that's like really plain and bland, but you can look at it as kind of like an ingredient in creating something more interesting. I mean, yes, everybody, like, it may feel like somewhat of a, like, disappointment or something frustrating or something empty in returning from something that's been such a transformative experience. But, like, with white rice or white bread, there's a lot that you can do to kind of dress it up and put your own spin on it and create something with your, like, international perspective.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. You mentioned your website earlier. Can you give us the URL and tell us a little bit about your website?
Yeah. So I have a website. It's at leslieforman.com. That's LeslieForman.com. And it is a personal blog that I have been writing for the last several years. But more recently, I started writing more advice and stories about living and working in other countries. And I've created a free email-based course called How to Create Your International Career that a lot of people have been subscribing to and giving me some great ideas about what to write about in a book that I'm starting to write on the same topic. So if you're at all interested in these topics, please come visit my website, and I'd love to chat more.
I want to check out your course. It sounds really useful, and I can imagine there's a lot of people who are wanting to work abroad and could really find something like that extremely useful.
Yeah, my goal is to be, like, honest and practical. And I've had so many different jobs over the years, worked in so many places with so many people, that I've started to come up with some more concrete ideas of what people can do to create their own kind of experience. But I mean, everybody's skills are different, everybody's personality is different, everybody's tastes are different. So also trying to help people create their own path, their own career.
Well, thanks so much for joining me today to talk about reentry, Leslie.
Thank you, Kate.